Welcome to the Data Up Podcast. My name is Brian Ward, the creator and host of the Data Up Podcast. I am a coach, Marine Corps veteran, speaker, husband, and you guessed it, a dad. Are you ready to be inspired to be the best dad you can be for your family? This show will provide you with the tips, tools, and strategies to do just that. Are you a dad just going through the motions? Or are you looking to really elevate your dad game to the next level? Truth is, it is a blessing to be a dad. This is a responsibility we must take seriously. In the end, how do you want to be remembered? I hope you want to be remembered as a phenomenal dad. Your legacy starts in the home, not outside the home. If you're really ready to elevate your dad game, then make sure you bang that subscribe button so you don't miss a single episode. Now, let's get started. Dad up. Welcome to another episode of Dad Up, everyone. Thank you guys very much for joining me. I'm excited for this conversation because this gentleman was on a show that I recently watched, and he was, although he didn't win, he's just a good dude. He was a professional basketball player. He coaches. He's got a family. He's got kids. He and his wife are a team, and it's just a good family guy. And I thought, you know, he stood out in this show, and I thought I got to try to get a hold of this guy. And I did. I reached out to him, and he was very willing to come on the show. So I'm excited to have him on. My good friend TJ Stukes, welcome to the show, brother.
Thank you for having me, Brian. I appreciate you.
Yeah, awesome. Listen, for those of you that are out there that are big fans of, you know, maybe Netflix, things like that, there was a show that came out a couple years ago, but it came out and it was a movie based show called Squid Games. And then this last year came out the reality show of that show called Squid Games. And TJ was number 182 on that show. And it's a reality based game show, essentially what it was. But it was very popular. I know a lot of people that watched it. My boys watched it. I mean, so it was very popular, and I'm dying to get into all that. However, before we do that, I want to know a little bit more about you, TJ. Let's learn a little bit more about how you kind of grew up and kind of your background, how you got into the things that you're doing now. Then we'll get into a little bit about your family as well.
Okay, well, my name is TJ Stukes, from the Bronx originally, raised in Mount Vernon, split time being raised in Mount Vernon and the Bronx. My mom's Denise Brown, my dad's Timmy Stukes. I have three siblings, three sisters, 6'1", 6'1", and 6'2".
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so, you know, I have a large family, like literally, not like physically, I have a large family. You know, what else? I went to Mount Vernon High School, the Bronx Regional High School. Went to college in Kansas, of all places, Independence Community College. Then I transferred to Pittsburgh College, which unknowingly would change my life. I had a chance to go to St. John's in New York. The coach is like, here, you got to sign. Like, you sign right now. And I didn't, because I chose love. And thankfully, it worked out for me, because everyone was pissed at me. But what else? I went to Poland, came back really quick. then I started playing with the Harlem Wizards, and I thought I was doing the wrong thing because it was entertainment basketball, and I was a real ball player. And then realized quickly that I'm doing the right thing when I realized how much I gave back to people. And then went to play in China, Africa, Europe, Australia, Japan, Turkmenistan. That's near Iraq. Mm-hmm. And then retired March of 2023 and played almost, on paper, played 15 years, but altogether with the street ball in New York, basically playing pro, played 19, almost 20 years pro. And basketball has been a staple of my life. We have two kids, me and my wife, Sam, 13 and 10 years old. A 13-year-old, Amari, he's our boy. He's the artistic guy. And the 10-year-old, she's the hooper. She is the hooper. The hooper. She's a mix of me and and her mom, and that is a scary mix. So my wife Sam, she's from El Paso, an Army rat. She's half I'd say half Samoan, half Mexican, but they say 100% Samoan, 100% Mexican, because she's 100% both, which makes no sense to me, but I understand. And so our kids, they have, my dad's Jamaican, my mom is African-American. So our kids have that blend of island and the blend of cultures, you know? So, our kids is alike. And Sam, she is a no-nonsense, loving, soft, no-nonsense, I'm saying it twice, woman. You know, you can make her mad, and you can get the Mexican side, you can make her mad, or get the Samoan side. And both are scary. But I started coaching. I initially didn't want to coach. But she got the offer to be the head coach of Northern New Mexico College. And I ultimately decided to be her assistant, which was a jolt to me, because I'm used to being the leader on the court. I'm used to being the guy people follow, you know, and now I'm learning all over again the game. And it's frustrating, but it's fun, if that makes sense. So, that's me in a nutshell.
That's awesome. So you're coaching at the college level. What division are they? Are they
the NAIA?
Okay, NAIA. So yeah. The reason I ask is because both my boys, thank you for sharing all that, by the way. But both my boys, I have two boys, 25 and 22, grew up playing sports from the ages of four all the way up through high school. And then my younger son got a scholarship as well to play in college. And they played, you know, baseball, football, basketball, but they both gravitated when they were, you know, 10, 11 years old, they both gravitated completely to basketball. And they played basketball all the way up. I coached every single one of their teams from the ages of four all the way up through high school. I was the assistant associate head coach on their varsity basketball team at high school.
Wow.
And not only that, but when I was the coach there, the head coach and I became really good friends. We ended up taking that team to the CIF championship and winning the CIF championship. And it was the first time in the school's 100-year history that they had won the championship.
Wow.
So the cool thing about that. Thank you. The cool thing about that is my younger son was a starter on that team. In the championship game, he made 5 3-pointers in that championship game. He was just on fire. He and I now both have championship CIF championship rings that we'll have together forever.
Nice.
Which is really, really cool. It's a good father son memory to have. So,
wow.
And then he ended up getting a scholarship to play NAIA, for a school here in California. And he did that for 2 years. And then he just kind of got burned out. He didn't want to play anymore. And he said, you know, I just don't want to play anymore, Dad. And I said, okay, well, I can't afford that school, cause you're going to lose your scholarship. So I can't afford that school now. So we're going to have to move you to a different school. So now he's in Arizona going to the college where his brother went, Grand Canyon University. And he's
GCU.
Yeah. He'll finish in May. He'll be done. So he'll be graduated in May. And, So anyways, it's interesting. You know, both my boys love sports. They watch sports. They've played sports their whole lives. And it's interesting how, you know, time comes when they just get, you know, burned out on it. And for you and your wife, I mean, did your wife play ball too?
Yes, that's how we met. That's a whole story in itself. That's a whole story. Like, literally, that should be really a movie, how we met. Because how we met. So me being a New Yorker and her being from El Paso, Kansas is literally in the middle.
Right.
Where we met. And she went to Allen County Community College. I went to Independence Community College, both rival schools, right? So I walk into the gym. I see this big hair thing just zip, 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 right? And she's killing our team, our women's team. She had 40 that game.
Oh, wow.
40. So I'm like, who is this pretty devil?
Right, right.
And she's killing our team. So I'm like, ah, screw her. And so, the night our game came, you know, like I'm having a career night. I mean, probably the best game of my life, like my entire 20-year career, both collegiately, like amateur and professional.
You were just like, hoping she was in the stands watching.
No, actually. No. Wait. Okay, there was one time I did get fouled, and I heard somebody say, I got dibs on him. And I'm like, I'm looking around who said that, and I see her laugh, and I'm assuming it's her. I don't know it's her, though. So I had like 25 points, 15 rebounds, 5 steals, 8 blocks, like 7 assists. Like a career night. So we win, and after the game, our bus breaks down that got maintenance the night before. So you're like, it just got fixed. What's going on? So I see her, and I attempt to sit next to her. But I literally smash through the table like a wrestler, like literally, like, and there's a whole bunch of splinters, and I'm on the floor, and the table's broke. I get up, wipe myself off, and literally run outside. Because I'm like, what the hell did I just do? Did I just embarrass myself? I don't ever do that. What is wrong with me? So I go back inside. I sit in the corner, literally just like, I want to go because I'm like fully embarrassed now. And so her roommate comes to me and says, hey, my friends want to talk to you, but I don't know who she's talking about. And she's like, that girl right there. I said, oh, her. Okay, I'm just going to walk over there. Screw it. And so I walk over there and be like, hey, what's up? Why didn't you talk to me? Like we could talk, you know, it's okay. And the first sentence she says out of her mouth, I am not a hoe. You need to come to me. Like, oh. All right. Well, that's an icebreaker. Good job. And then we had a 3-hour conversation. And lo and behold, in the middle of that conversation, her boyfriend says, we're done. I don't want you no more. And that's the guy I had the career night against. And that was almost 17 years ago.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. What a cool story. That's very cool. And now you guys are coaching together. I mean, that's got to be kind of challenging in itself because you know, you said you're used to being a, you know, the leader, the head coach, and now you're helping her out. But I mean, I'm sure you guys make a good pair, a good team. So that's awesome. Good for you guys. when it comes to your guys' coaching, did you guys coach or did you coach any of your daughter's teams? Because you said your son's more the artistic one and your daughter is the athlete. So
I was there, like I assisted coaching. Coach my wife with my wife. Sam is such a strong-willed person. I think that's why I was drawn to her. I observed. I'm an observed person first. So okay. I realized how difficult it was coaching. I realized when I was assistant coaching with my daughter and you know, like managing the attitudes, you know, I thought I was used to that. You know, until I had to realize I can't be that aggressive guy no more. I can't be the guy like, follow me, I'll pull you through. Like, I have to teach these people up who I'm coaching. And I'm not, I'm more of an example guy.
Yeah.
You follow my example.
Right.
Like, it's difficult putting it on a board and being like, okay, follow this. It works.
Right.
And I'd say, me and Alana, our daughter, we bump heads so bad because she's 8 years old and I'm telling her, stop shooting, drive. But dad, it's going in. Oh my God. I had to turn off the dad switch because I was like, look, I'm going to grab you by the back of your neck. I don't know who you're yelling at.
I'm going to sit you on the bench.
and I'm like, look, timeout ref. Said, Alana, sit down for the rest of the game. That she huffing and puffing and crying. She had like She's playing she's playing 10-year-olds at 8 and leading them in scoring. And so, you know, it's like, how do you humble a child that young, first of all?
Right, right.
And then how do you make the child better?
Right. Let me freeze you right there, because that's a good point. How do you humble a child? How do you work on trying to make that child understand how to be better? So what was the conversation for you and her after the game? Because I guarantee you there was some conversations after the game. So how did that conversation go between a father and a daughter, a coach and a player?
Okay. Father and daughter, you yell at me again, you're going to regret it. Simple as that. But as a coach and a player, I said, I understand. You're better than a lot of people. I was the same way. But you have to be humble. Just because you're better than them doesn't mean you let them know. You have to let your game talk. When your game talks, it's 10 times louder than anything you could actually say. And then she was like, but dad, they're not good. I'm like, so what? You gonna make sure they know that? I understand what you're doing. I understand. I was the same way. I was arrogant, super arrogant, because I was so much better than so many people. But then I didn't humble myself, so the universe did. And very sharply, too. So I understood that it took, you know, for me, it took too much energy being that arrogant guy, consistently talking, consistently that. But, and I'm trying, and you know, like I explained to her, you know, when you're talking, right? And then you come to me, you're breathing really hard. It's because you're talking. Just play ball. Play ball. You ain't got no reason to talk. No reason. Just get back and keep doing what you're doing. And then the next game, it didn't stop, but it was less.
Okay. So she started to learn.
Yeah.
Slowly.
It was a lot less. Because she plays with a fire that you don't see in kids her age.
Right.
And you know, when she goes up against a girl who's 5'11", and she scores and gets the bucket with the foul, and she yells looking up at her. And, you know, I'm like, stop. No, I'm not clapping. Stop. And, you know, it's hard to contain that, because you don't want to contain it. But at the same time, you want the flame to grow brighter.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't want it to burn other people. Like I just said in the post I posted recently, that there's two types of flames in this world. There's flames people come around, they get warm. And there's flames that burn people.
Mm-hmm.
Which one are you going to be? And I want her to be that flame that people come around.
Right.
Because she's such a good person in general as a whole. Like off the court, she cries over animals. You know, she looks at a movie and she's like, who wrote this? Why do people write this stuff? And you know, like, and on the court, she's like flipped upside down.
Yeah,
she's like, try to stop me and I'll make you pay.
Right.
And it's tough. That's a tough balance.
Right.
Because as a dad, like, I'm like, let's go.
Right. Right. I know that. I know your feeling. I know your feeling. Yeah. That's great. No, I get it. Hey, listen, if I can give you any bit of advice, I understand what you're saying, teaching her how to be humble, being humble and kind doesn't mean you don't have to be competitive and aggressive, right? So continue to inspire that aggressiveness, that competitive spirit in her, because that competitiveness will help her in other areas of her life too, especially when she's an adult. When she starts to get into the real world and life really hits her on the chin, she's got that competitive spirit in her. She's going to want to keep going after it, whatever it is, goals, dreams, whatever it is she wants. Even if she's getting knocked down, she's going to want to keep going. So just continue to encourage that competitiveness, but also, you know, just, I think you're doing it well, just helping her understand, hey, well, you can be competitive, but you don't have to showboat. You know what I mean? You don't have to be the person that says, hey, look at me. As long as you're showing what you know how to do and the scores taking care of itself, people will look at you. You don't have to showboat. People will notice you. Trust me. So, I mean, I'm sure you realize that just, you know, playing at the professional level, people will recognize you if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. And, you know, yeah. So that's awesome. That's awesome. I do want to dive into a little bit of Squid Games. I don't know what you can or can't talk about on Squid Games. I don't know if you're under any type of, you know, contract or anything.
It's open. Open. It's open reign. Ask anything.
Okay. All right. So again, like I said at the beginning of the show, for people that haven't seen it, go to Netflix, type in Squid Games. You're going to find two of them. There's going to be one that's just a drama, suspenseful, just kind of not real movie about Squid Games. And then there's a reality show that's a game show that has 300, how many it have? 300 and something. Whoop, we lost you.
No, I'm back.
300 and something contestants that all came out to this, to play in this game. And he was number 182. So I want to know, first of all, how did you get cast for it? How did you apply? How did that process go? How did you even know it was happening? I didn't even know it was happening until it came out on Netflix. I didn't even know what happened.
Okay, so scrolling Twitter, you know, the crazy thing is I remember exactly what I was looking at. I was looking at highlights of Dame Lillard, you know, his clutch moments. And then I scrolled up a little bit more, and I seen, like, Squid Game, the challenge? Like, I thought it was like a theme park thing, like a amusement park, like at Six Flags, and they have a challenge of Squid Game. And I'm like, all right, yeah. So 20 minutes later, same thing pops up, but it says final day, final hour to apply. So I'm looking at it, I'm like, oh, screw it. Okay, screw it. So I put in my info. They asked for a video. So I recorded it on the website. I literally said, I'm 6'8". I play professional basketball. I have two kids. And yeah, I'm from New York. And that's it. Because I didn't think it was that serious. So they call. So I get a call from a London number. I'm like, United Kingdom? The hell? And they say, hi, is this Mr. Stuckey's? I'm like, Stooks. Like, who is this? And then they said, oh, this is Studio Lambert, casting for Squid Game. To even be eligible, you need to say a little bit more about yourself. You said nothing, literally. And so it was supposed to be, I was supposed to re-record the video, but we ended up having a half hour conversation, just getting to know me. And it was like, okay, we'll send you an email and we'll let you know what's going on. So I'd say that was October 29th, 2022. And they sent me, November 1st, they sent me an email saying that I'm in consideration. And I'm like, oh, like, this is real. This is real. So probably about 3 weeks go by, they send me like emails here and there, like basically contact info, license, passport, and all that stuff. So I'm like, oh, okay. And I tell my wife, she don't believe it. I tell Sam, she doesn't believe it. She's like, if it's real, you're going to get your organ sold. Like, you're not coming back. Let's make sure all your insurance is in order. And you know, I'm serious. She's dead serious about this. So when I officially got the the email saying I was casted, that was like December 2nd. And people think that I just got casted and I just, you know, went there. No, they made us do like a psychiatric exam with three different psychiatrists. And then they made us do a physical exam with an actual doctor, not like, a nurse or something. No, I had to go to a doctor because I went to a nurse initially and they said, no, it's not good enough. You have to go to a doctor. And so I went to the doctor and then they, you know, then like 2 weeks later, they said I was good. You know, like all your tickets booked, transportation's booked, the hotel's booked, can't wait to see you. And then boom.
How soon after you got the email saying, hey, you've been casted, we need you to, you know, get a physical and all that stuff, how soon till you actually went? Because you found that out beginning of December.
Yeah, that was another month. That okay. was January 4th or 5th.
Wow.
And then, yeah, the rest is history.
Wow. It's really cool how the set that they had you guys in really did look like the movie. And I'm sure you guys were probably like everybody there. You could tell by your guys' reactions in the reality show. Everybody who's there was like, holy cow, this looks like the real deal.
Yeah. When, when the trailer came out, the first trailer for the show, and it was like, Mr. Beast did it better. I didn't know who that was initially. So I looked it up. I said, you have no idea like how big this was. Like they put 100 million into production alone. And so when we seen the dorms, it was like looking at a screen of the TV show. Like it was one for one. It wasn't like an imitation. It looked exactly like it. Exactly. Down to the tiles in the walls. Like it was crazy. Even a bathroom. Like exactly. I mean exactly. And it surprised us too. Not even the dorms, but the entirety of everything. It was just grand. It was like the red light, green light. You see how large it looked? It was that large. And so, you know, when people look at it, it was true. It was true as it can be.
Yeah. That's yeah. I mean, when I was watching, I was just like, holy cow, this looks like it's real, like the real show, which is really, really cool. And you know what? I mean, what was the grand prize? Cause it was like a month ago that I watched this thing. What was the grand prize again? It was a lot of money.
$4.5 million.
How long were you there?
I was there. I was there 3 days before Super Bowl. So I went there January 5th. I think I flew the 4th and landed the 5th. And then I got back 3 days before Super Bowl. So the beginning of February, like I say, maybe 5 weeks altogether.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then you made it pretty far into the game. But shoot, you're there for over a month. And for those who haven't seen it, they live in essentially like this big dorm room, like it's a big warehouse and it's just stacked up of bunk beds, that they all lived in. They no television, no cell phones, none of that kind of stuff. They're basically cut off. They're living in this warehouse and they're playing this game. It's really fascinating. And, what I want to know from you is another one. Is there going to be another one? Do you know? And
Brian, they confirmed that already. Yeah,
they did.
They confirmed. Yeah. Yeah. So, I don't know what, you know, and I don't know how, but they have confirmed that season 2 is happening, and 300,000 people apply for this one. Now that they see that, this is big. I'd say it's up to 2 million right now, 2 million people.
Yeah, I would imagine that's going to skyrocket even more. I could easily see 10 to 20 million applying for this season too. That's cool. How about you? Are you going to do it again? You going to try?
I am not putting myself through hell for free. There's no way. There's no way.
What game did you get eliminated on?
Glass Bridge.
That's right. The Glass Bridge. Yeah. The Glass Bridge. You guys gotta check it out. It's Glass Bridge. They gotta pick between two steps going across. It's a glass bridge. They gotta pick between which step, which glass is stable enough to hold you, and which glass is actually a breakaway. So you break away from it. So you have to make your way across a bridge, picking one of those steps. And if you make the wrong choice, you go through. Obviously, they had a you know, a net or something that caught you guys, or a pad or something. How far did you fall?
It wasn't me actually.
Oh,
like I actually jumped, and then they made me do a squat and throw my arms up, and then they literally whisked us away. Like we didn't get the chance to say goodbye or like good luck, nothing. They and then
so it's all fake.
No, there was a stunt double that took my place.
Got it. Wow.
So he actually fell, but the editing.
Yeah, that's crazy. I didn't know that. It looks like you really fall. I was thinking about that. I'm like, wow, I wonder how far they fall, because it's just a game show. It's just a reality show.
Yeah,
that's crazy. Well, very cool. I'm glad you did that. I'm sure it opened up other opportunities. Kind of got you a little bit of traction as far as who you are and all that kind of stuff. That's really, really cool. What did your kids think? Because that's a conversation. I've watched a lot of reality game shows and stuff. You know, you got some ones out there that last quite a while. And I think about parents that actually leave their kids to go participate in these activities or these game shows. You know, there's one, you know, like Survivor, obviously you got Survivor, you got the, you know, Big Brother, there's things like that that are out there that, you know, they may be gone 2 months. Mm-hmm. And the impact that can have on a child. And you have, you know, your kids are, they're young, but they're not super young, but they're young. They understand what's going on. What was the conversation like that you had with your kids about, hey, dad's going to get ready to go do this. I don't know how long I'm going to be, but hopefully I come back with a lot of money.
Our son, Amari, he was like, you're lying, dad. I don't believe you. And I was like, I'm dead serious. So I showed him the airplane ticket. He was like, you're doing Squid Game? Oh, my God. He said, don't come back until you're a millionaire. And so our daughter was like, so Alana is so intuitive. She said, dad, what's going to be your strategy?
That's a great question.
I don't know, baby girl. I don't know. I just said, I'm just going to be kind. Like, I'm just going to be not nice, but kind, you know, to everyone. And dad, it's Squid Game. Dad, people are mean for no reason in Squid Game. I was like, yeah, but there has to be a reason why they're mean. And she was like, dad, please, please don't get eliminated and try to save somebody else.
That's awesome. Well, you know what? That's cool. That's cool that she's like, listen, you know what she's doing there? She's speaking her competitive spirit, right? She's like, dad, go out there and take some heads off and let's win this money, right? She's like, let's get after it. That's that competitive side of her. Don't be nice. You know, don't be trying to help nobody. Do you. Just do you.
Yeah.
That's cool. That's awesome. Now I'm sure that you made a lot of connections on the show. I'm sure there's probably a ton of people that you shared information with to stay in contact with. What was your closest connection on that show? And you know, who do you keep in contact with now?
I mean, we all keep in contact, you know, because there's so much going in our lives. You know, like recently, 337, he just announced that him and his wife is pregnant. You know, That's amazing, you know. I literally texted myself, our squid family is growing little by little. And so, you know, but the closest one to me was probably 183, Jesse. He's from Arkansas. 5'8", you know, completely opposite of me. And we met in the tents right before Red Light, Green Light, because they had this bunch of number groups. And so it was four of us initially, with me, myself, 179, 183, and 178. So I was closest with them, but specifically 183, because I called him my white shadow, actually. because you know how a shadow, like, no matter how tall you get, your shadow is smaller than you.
Right.
And he was always behind me, and he was the next number behind me also. That's why I called him my white shadow. So.
That's awesome. That's cool. You know, when it comes to, you know, when it comes to us kind of raising our kids to endure or have that competitive spirit. What about your daughter? Let's talk about your son a little bit. You know, you said he's artistic. What kind of things is he into, and how do you get that competitive spirit out of him, even though he's not playing sports?
Okay. So he played basketball for a while, but he like your son, he said, dad, I don't want to do it no more. Okay. Yeah. First, I was like, why? You know, why? Son, you're going to be my height. You're going to be my build. Why? But after Sam was talking to me and letting me know that, you know, our son is more than just a sport. Like, let's see what he does and let's see if he's good at it. So, there's an anime out there called, it's a weird name, Danganronpa, whatever. But he makes full episodes. He literally makes full episodes on his phone, from the script to the production to the animation to the music. He makes the music. And I'm like, all on his phone. And I'm like, why are you on your phone all the time? And then he showed me the finished product. I'm like, damn, this is good.
Right.
And so, like, you know, I'm sharing with my friends. I'm like, hey, give me your honest opinion on this. And they was like, this is okay. Like, how old is your son? I said, 13, you know. And would he make this on a laptop, on a monitor, like on a desktop? No, on his phone. What? And people are saying, like, people are surprised, like, he's doing this all on his phone. And I'm like, yeah, he's really good at it. And so he has a few up on YouTube. I forget where, somewhere, but it has like 10,000 views, and people are liking this. And I'm like, son, you have to be consistent. You can't just stop because you make one good thing. And he's like, but I'm not going to make no money from it. I'm like, son, it's not about the money. It's not. Not yet. You are too young to care about money right now. Just enjoy being a child. I tell them all the time, enjoy being a child, because being an adult sucks. And he's currently in the process of making episode 3, 4, and 5. So I'm like, son, just stay with it, because there's so many people doing what you do, but they have more equipment. They have a team behind them, and you're doing this by yourself.
Right.
So make sure you give the best product that you can give, and try not to copy somebody else. So he's very competitive about that, and he voice acts the entire thing, like every character. Cool. So it's not just, you know, from that standpoint, the production point. He also does the talent point too. And he's surprisingly really good at it. Huh. And so, you know, I'm like, this guy might make me some money someday. So I'm going in to invest in his passion, get him a big iPad, get him the Apple Pen, and actually see what he can do with, when he has real tools, right, not just his phone.
Right. That's cool. I mean, it's not, you're right. It's not about the money right now, but continue doing the stuff that he's doing and being, you know, getting the attention that he's getting, the money will come. I mean, that's the easy part, especially if he loves what he's doing. That's the other part of it. That's the other component is, you know, kids have these, when we're kids, we have these huge goals, these huge dreams, and then things happen. Life kind of gets in the way and kids kind of lose that passion or that dream. And for him, I mean, he still has that passion, that dream when he starts to get older. If he's doing this now at 13, imagine when he's 18, 5 years from now, he's not even, you know, he's barely graduated high school. 5 years from now, he's making some money, just graduated high school. And as long as he keeps doing it over these next 5 years, I mean, that's, yeah, good for him. That's awesome. Yeah. That's a proud dad moment right there.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, like as a dad, you always want your son to like follow your footsteps in somehow, some way.
Right.
And at first, initially, I was disappointed. Like, I'm like, damn, he don't want to play basketball. Damn, my kid. You know, but I'm learning what he's doing as well. And, right. And I love learning new things.
Yeah.
Especially when it's from a viable source. So, you know, we're both learning each other at the same time.
Yeah. I mean, it's cool. You're learning as a dad. Listen, I've got, like I said, my boys are 25 and 22 and I still learn things from them every day. And, you know, they're two of my best friends. We enjoy activities together. We golf together, those sorts of things, but I'm always their biggest supporter, right? And yeah, there's a part of me that I was in the Marine Corps. I spent 4 years in the military, and a part of me wanted them to go into the military. Part of me wanted them to go in and learn that discipline and learn that work ethic and learn how to kind of grow up, become a man a little bit more, learn how to defend yourself. And not only that, but, you know, have a college paid for, because the military paid for my college. Right. And my boys didn't want to do that. They had no desire to go into the military at all. And yeah, part of me was like a little like bub that they didn't want to do that. But on the flip side, they're trying to figure out who they are. And that's what your son's doing. That's what your daughter's doing. They're trying to figure out who they are as individuals, as independent from mom and dad. Yeah, we can be there and guide them and support them along the way, but trying to push them or steer them one direction or the other could ultimately impact not only who they become or who they wanted to become but didn't, but also can impact the relationship between you and your daughter or you and your son. And that could be a negative impact that you really don't want to have happen. So I think for you, just continuing to support your son and encouraging him, helping him out by, you know, providing the things that he needs in order to advance in those skills is great. And the same with your daughter, providing the things that she needs in order to advance in her skills, whether it's training camps or, you know, even working out with your guys' college team. Who knows? I mean, she might be able to help out at practice or something like that, just kind of learn what it's like to be in a college basketball environment, because it's very fast paced. My younger son, you know, he's at Grand Canyon University right now. And even though he doesn't play anymore, he was coaching at a community college in Arizona with, he had a you know, grown man that was the head coach. And then my son came in as kind of this intern and was helping him out on the court, because my son still had a passion for the sport, even though he didn't want to play. And so he was helping him out as a coach, at the college level. So yeah, I mean, maybe introducing your daughter to that as well would be really cool.
That's awesome. You know, at her age, she's being exposed to something that, like, basketball, forget women or men or boys and girls, that basketball players aren't exposed to, you know, that early, like collegiate basketball.
Right.
And doing it correctly.
Right.
You know, and both parents being collegiate athletes and you know, pro. Like, the only reason why Sam didn't play pro because she became a mom. Yeah. So, you know, like, having both spectrums, one great coach and one great player who's learning to be a good coach, I think that's going to spike her her potential even more.
Yeah. That's really neat. That's really neat, man. I hope that works out. And I'm really interested in learning more about your son too, and the stuff that he's doing, to see how that goes for him as well. That's really cool. TJ, I want to ask you, as we close up here, if my listeners or viewers kind of wanted to check you out, learn a little bit more about you, best places for them to do that.
All socials, Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, Twitter. I'm never calling it X. TJ Stukes, like, just my name, literally TJ STUKES, no spaces. You'll find me.
Awesome. Well, listen, TJ, thank you very much for being on, man. I really enjoyed this conversation, really enjoyed getting to know you a little bit more. And honestly, I'm looking forward to continuing our friendship. So thanks for being on, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you, Brian. I appreciate it. And thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, guys, it's been another episode of Dad Up. I want to thank my good friend TJ Stukes for being on. Obviously, he's active on social media. You can find his social media links in the show notes, but it's just TJ Stukes. That's it. That's very easy to find. And he is active on there. So if you have questions, you want to reach out to him, he will be more than happy to answer those for you. Any questions you guys might have. And then obviously you can check him out on the Squid Games on Netflix, Squid Game Challenge, it's a reality show. He's number 183 on there, and he's more than happy to, check him out there. But as always, guys, listen, hey, I look forward to reading your comments, getting your feedback on episodes. So make sure you guys give your feedback on this one. And if you are not yet subscribed to my show, please make sure you do that so you don't miss any of the awesome guests I have on each and every week. And as always, I look forward to seeing you all on the next episode of Dad Up.
another amazing episode in the books. So much was shared, and I'm truly grateful my guest was able to pour into you to help you elevate your dad game and really dad up. Make sure you bang that subscribe button so you don't miss a single episode. And while you're here, please don't forget to leave me a rating and a review. I always appreciate the feedback. Also, did you know you can watch the video interview of this episode? You can by simply going to my YouTube channel at Dad Up Podcast. Please don't forget to subscribe to my channel. And one last thing, don't forget, your role as a dad is one of the most important roles you have. So if you need a little help or have questions, don't hesitate to reach out to me on my website at daduptribe.com or at my Instagram page at Dad Up Podcast. Until next time, everyone, Dad Up.